Welcome back to Mr. Jeffrey On's World History Podcast. Today's episode is episode 18, and we will be discussing the states and societies of sub-Saharan Africa. This basically includes the migrations, societies, and cultures within sub-Saharan Africa. If you would like to submit a question for the podcast, you may do so by calling the Google voice number 321-804-APWH or by emailing mrjeffreyon@gmail.com. Just be sure to include your question along with your first name, and we will take care of the rest. During most of the classical era, sub-Saharan Africa was isolated from much of the Eastern Hemisphere. Geographical factors, including the Sahara Desert, limited trade and communication. However, despite the limited communication, sub-Saharan Africa still encountered various migrations, most notably the Bantu migration that brought about an increase in agriculture and, in turn, an increase in population. Between 2000 BCE and 1000 BCE, Bantu migration spread agriculture and herding throughout Africa. Aside from this, they also introduced iron metallurgy, which became one of the key elements of population expansion. The introduction of the banana in 500 CE also caused populations to increase. This population growth influenced competition for land and social stratification. The Bantu brought about the creation of stateless societies as well. These societies had no elaborate bureaucracy, but instead were governed by family and kinship groups, with the male family heads making up the village council. Groups of villages formed districts, and village chiefs governed and negotiated inter-village affairs. However, the lack of centralization and the increased population began influencing conflicts within these societies. Military forces were organized, and powerful chiefs began to override the authority of kinship groups. These population and military pressures brought about the creation of more centralized kingdoms, such as the Kingdom of Congo, which had not only a centralized government, but also a royal currency. The Kingdom of Congo ruled effectively until the mid-17th century. After 300 CE, the use of camels instead of horses for transport enabled an increase in trans-Saharan communication. This communication allowed Christianity and Islam to enter sub-Saharan Africa and increase them. The trans-Saharan trade made the Kingdom of Ghana the most commercial area in West Africa. Kumbi Sali, the capital city of Ghana, became a booming commercial center. The trade in Ghana exchanged gold, an important commodity of the time, ivory, slaves, salt, manufactured goods, clothes, and horses. This trade attracted various merchants, including Ibn Battuta, a Moroccan merchant and jurist who traveled throughout Africa and wrote about his encounters. The introduction of Islam to sub-Saharan Africa influenced the elite of Ghana who converted to Islam. However, the kings did not force this conversion upon their subjects. The Kingdom of Ghana gave rise to a series of Islamic kingdoms that would rule the trade of West Africa. The Kingdom of Mali followed Ghana. Mali was created by Sundiata Ali, the Lion Prince, and reached its peak under Mansa Musa. Mali controlled and taxed the trade that passed through West Africa. Under the rule of Mansa Musa, mosques and Islamic schools were established in Mali after his pilgrimage to Mecca. East Africa also faced Islamic influences. Swahili states fused Bantu and Islam, speaking Swahili, which was a Bantu language, with supplemented Arabic words. The Swahili city-states linked the city-states of coastal Africa and the African interior and the Indian Ocean basin. The conversion of the ruling elite and wealthy merchant Africa to Islam promoted trade with Muslim merchants and allowed cooperation in political alliances with Muslim rulers. Kilwa became an important city-state along the coast, engaged in the export of gold. Zimbabwe became a powerful kingdom in Central Africa. 18,000 people resided in the stone complex referred to as Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, like other powerful African kingdoms, engaged in the trade of gold, ivory, and slaves. The diversity of African society tends to surprise people. Africa fostered the rise of villages, kingdoms, empires, and city-states. Among each of these units, there were distinctions among gender, age, and social standing. In African society, men typically took care of the heavy labor, while women were expected to care for the children in the home. Although men held most positions of authority, African women enjoyed high honor. While aristocratic women were able to influence public affairs, female merchants were also allowed to participate in trade that occurred at the markets. Variation in age also accounted for social differences. Age groups created tight circles of friends and allies, which were given responsibilities that were appropriate for the age group. Slaves also made up a large part of African society. Slaves were mostly war captives, debtors, or criminals who were enslaved to work in agricultural labor or be sold through the slave trade. Owning slaves and land became a measure of wealth in Africa, thus increasing the slave trade. However, the Zanj slave revolt, led by Ali bin Muhammad along with other Zanj slaves, was caused by the difficult working conditions and demonstrated the nature of African slavery in Islamic society. The diversity of Africa was also influenced by religious diversity. African religion had one creator god with lesser deities and were often associated with natural features. The arrival of Christianity and Islam increased the religious diversity. Christianity spread throughout northern Africa, leading to the creation of the Christian kingdom of Aksum in the 4th century CE. In this Ethiopian kingdom, the Bible was translated by missionaries. This translation caused Christianity to gain popularity. Meanwhile, Islam also made its way into Africa. Islam appealed to the ruling elite, including Mansa Musa, whose pilgrimage to Mecca not only demonstrated his devotion, but also his great wealth. Despite the fact that these ruling classes did not force their subjects to convert to Islam, this religion came to influence much of African society. Islam served as a supplement rather than a replacement for the traditional religions and did little to alter the fairly significant role of women in African society. Africa consisted of various distinct societies. However, during the post-classical era, it became an important center in the trading world. The trade of gold, ivory, and slaves attracted merchants that would aid in expanding and altering African culture and society. This wraps up episode 18. As usual, I'm recommending a Crash Course World History video about Mansa Musa and Islam in Africa. Also, check out the History Teacher's channel on YouTube. They have a pretty funny video about Mansa Musa and his pilgrimage to Mecca. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffrey on's World History Podcast.